We want to talk about being strong in our faith. Strong enough that when the obstacles come and the battles are before us, that we can be victorious. And God has given us His Word as our life manual to get us through the struggles and the hardships. Most of you have heard me tell about an experience I had a number of years ago with a Zenith television. How many remember Zenith? About half of you do. Ginger and I had a Zenith television, black and white. That was all we could afford back then. And one day it just got fuzzy. We couldn't see a picture on it, so I took it to the TV repair shop, okay? Dropped it off. Got a call from them early the next day. My TV had been repaired. I needed to stop by and pick it up. So I went by to pick it up, and I said, "What was the problem?" And here's the question he asked me. He said, "Did you read the owner's manual?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, if you had read the owner's manual, it would have told you if this ever happens, there's a little button right back here that resets it." I said, "Oh." He smiled and said, "That'll be $40. I felt stupid as I walked out. But I'm telling you, it cost me $40. Nothing in comparison to the struggles I see our families going through sometimes because they don't know the owner's manual. Someone the last couple of days talked to me about the fact that they're being evicted. And I'm thinking as they tell me their story, you should have read the owner's manual, you wouldn't be there. Somebody else dealing with cancer, a friend of mine, the cancer's come back and he just doesn't know what to do, how to handle it. Should have read the owner's manual. It tells you how to survive and get through these things. A family of ours in the church suffered a horrible tragedy this last week when their son took his life. Sitting with them and trying to encourage them, I kept taking them back to the owner's manual. You see, God loves you and me enough that He gave us a manual that will prepare us for the storms that are coming and help us understand how to navigate through this life. But for it to be successful in our life, we have to take the time to know it. If not, we find ourselves always wondering what's going on. As a boy coming up every Friday night, we watched the fights. My father had boxed in college in the Army, and he loved boxing. And especially when there was going to be a big fight on, maybe like for the heavyweight championship of the year or of the world. And what would happen if two boxers were designated to fight for the heavyweight championship? They would not take any other fights for months before them as they prepared for that battle. They would get strong. They would get in shape because they knew a major battle was coming, a major fight was coming. And they could tell you the date and the time. It's going to be August the 8th at 5 o'clock. This is when we're going to have this fight. We have fights just as strong in our life. We just don't usually know the dates and the times. So the point of my message today is going to be very simple. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to know the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, that you might be strong and wise when you face life's decisions. Amen? All right. With that, I'll tell you where we're going in the scriptures. We're going to the first chapter of Joshua. Because I think what the Lord tells him is so applicable to us today. To remind you where we're at. For the last 40 years, Israel has been wandering in the desert. Moses has led them. They are now at the threshold of this land that God promised them that flowed with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. They're about to receive what God promised them. And as God prepared Joshua to lead them, listen to what he tells Joshua, because his advice to you and to me is the exact same advice if we want to be prosperous and have good success in life. With that, the book of Joshua, first chapter, verses 1 through 8. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, who served Moses. He says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I'm going to," and this is neat, "to the land I'm going to give to the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great Euphrates River. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, and you will distribute the land I swore to their fathers to give them an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to carefully observe the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn to it from the left or the right, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it." And it's the final portion here. He says, "For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do." Now, isn't that what you want in your life? If you have a marriage, don't you want that to be prosperous and succeed? You don't want it to fail, do you? When you raise children, don't you want to see them successful? Don't you want to see them prospering in life? You don't want to see them fail. So what the Lord God is telling Joshua applies to me and applies to you. So what we're going to do is just spend a couple of minutes looking at his advice to Joshua. And here's what you need to remember. The instructions of God are not given to us to hamper us, to cramp our style, or to hurt us. The instructions of God to us are given like a parent gives instructions to children that they might be successful and avoid undue pain in their life. Here's the first point. Know his promises. The Lord told Joshua, I will not leave you or forsake you. Doesn't that sound like something we find in Matthew 28:28, when Jesus says, and lo, I am with you to the ends of the world? This was so important to Joshua. Joshua was the servant of Moses. Moses was this bigger than life character. I mean, he and his staff brought the plagues on Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. I mean, this man is bigger than life. He went on the mountain for 40 days along with God and brought down the Ten Commandments. This man is bigger than life. It is said that when Moses returned from the mountain of God, that his face glowed. None of this has ever happened to Joshua. So Joshua's got to be wondering, is God going to be with me like he was with Moses? And the Lord comes back and tells him emphatically, I will not leave you or forsake you. And my friends, this is a promise I have claimed multiple times and you need to claim. Paul tells us that God is not a respecter of persons. What God did for Moses, God would do for Joshua. What he would do for Joshua, he will do for you. And I will remind you what we talked about last Sunday. One of the great characteristics of God is that he is immutable. God is unchanging. So when God makes a promise, it never alters. It never changes. So what you can do, you can find a promise and you can stake your life on it. You can hold on to that promise and you can walk in that promise. You need to study the Word of God that you might know the promises of God for you. When I came to Christ back in, it would have been 1970, I battled the thought that God had saved me and there was nothing I had to do. I kept thinking, surely there's something I need to do. I need to change this or add this or go there. I just so questioned my salvation. Am I sure I'm saved? Am I sure I'm walking with God? But there was a verse that I found in the Scriptures, Romans 10:13. How many people know that verse? I'll share it with you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And many a time when I questioned whether I'd been saved, many a time when I felt our enemy whisper in my ear, that's not enough, I would simply quote that promise of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called upon his name, therefore I am saved. I learned to stand on the promises of God. And then as a senior, God called me to preach. Now, as you have gathered, I have a speech impediment. Sometimes the speech doesn't come out exactly right. It kind of jumps and pops around a little bit. As a child coming up, it was a terrifying thing to speak in public. And then God called me to preach. And you know, as far as I knew, and what some of you think, the only thing a preacher does is speak on Sundays. And I got to thinking, that's the one thing I don't want to do is speak. And I found a passage of scripture in the book of Isaiah where the prophet, receiving a message from God, says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the captives and to those that are broken." And for years, before I went into the pulpit to preach, I would quote that passage time and time again, that this is not me, that this is the Spirit of God that's going to speak through me. And I don't have to do it. I can just depend upon God. You see, we need to know the promises of God. That's why you need to be in the book. That's why you need to know the book. Because the promises of God will give you confidence in the midst of the storm. They will give you faith when everyone else is quaking around you. You need to know the promises of God. Number two, you need to know your purpose. He said, "Be strong and courageous, Joshua, for you will distribute the land. I swear to their fathers, to them as an inheritance." Now, we all have two general purposes under God. In this, all of us are the same. One is that we are to honor him with our life. Our life should put a smile on his face. And number two, we have a responsibility under God to provide for our families. These are without question, without doubt, clear in the scriptures. We are to honor God and we are to provide for our families. But outside of that, I believe God has specific purposes for us. Joshua is told, basically, when we go into the promised land, you divide up the land among the tribes of Israel. You just get you a map out and draw the thing up, and you get this part, you get this part. Ephraim gets this. Judah gets this. Manasseh gets this. And you are to divide it up. But Joshua's purpose was a very difficult purpose. Because while he's being told that you're supposed to take the land of Canaan and divide it up among the tribes, there is a ginormous problem. Amen? The land is inhabited by the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and the Philistines. So while he's to go in and divide the land, it will not be an easy chore. And then on top of that, I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but sometimes people are not always agreeable. As when they finally get into the land of Canaan, he begins to divide up that land. The tribes begin to complain. "Well, no, I wanted that portion of land. That's a better portion. Why did you give it to them? Are they your favorites?" Because you know your purpose does not mean that life is going to be easy. But when we know the book and we know our purpose, and each of you has a specific purpose. I have that on the foyer table if you would like to. I believe that Doris has already picked up one. This is simply a spiritual gifts test about where your gifts are in the Lord. Some of you know what your gifts are, but you need to have a place where you're serving. If a visitor comes in today and you introduce yourself to them and they look at you and say, "Where do you serve the Lord?" You ought to have an answer. Because our task is to serve God, to have that purpose. And when you have a purpose, God can bless you and bless through you. And it's not always going to be what you want to do. Now, I know that Carrie has been looking for some people to help her in children's ministry and the nursery. I have looked through 3 spiritual gift tests. Did you know there is not a gift for changing diapers? But yet someone back in that room back there gets to quieten the crying baby and change the dirty diapers. Usually it's that person who has the gift of serving and ministry. Wherever it is God calls you to serve, it's not always going to be easy. But it's in serving God where He calls us that God can bless us and God can use us. But again, you need to know the book, and He'll help guide you to your purpose. Number 3, know the guidelines. Do not turn from it. This is the instruction. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Our tendency is to push the limit. Our tendency is, how far can I go and what can I get by with? God is very specific. Do not turn to the right. Do not turn to the left. You must do exactly as I'm saying. And Joshua is about to find out very painfully. Israel, when they first step into Canaan, defeat the walled city of Jericho. And you know the song and the story, and the walls came tumbling down. But when God sent them into Jericho, He gave them a very clear command. Do not take anything. Take nothing, leave everything. Everybody must walk out of Jericho empty-handed. His army at this point was likely tens of thousands. But one of those tens of thousands of soldiers took, stole, and hid. The next battle, they were soundly defeated. And when the Lord told Joshua why, He said, "You didn't obey me exactly as I told you to obey." Moses, that great bigger-than-life character, his job was to bring Israel into the land of Canaan. But do you remember what he did? While they're going through the deserts of Sinai, these grumbling Israelites, just grumbling and complaining all the time, "Well, we're thirsty. We need something to drink. We need something to drink." And we're driving him crazy. And the Lord told him, "There's a big rock coming up. When you get to that rock, speak to it, Moses, and water will gush forth." Well, as they're walking up to this rock, the people are just, "Nah, nah, 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 nah." Moses is so fed up with them, he takes his staff and hits the rock. And the Lord said, "Moses, that was a mistake. You will not enter the promised land because you disobeyed." Just that little bit. Just that little bit. Now, it's precious what God did as Israel is encamped just at the promised land. Once again, the Lord calls Moses aside. And Moses does not come back. And we learn from the word that the Lord God buried Moses on the mountain overlooking the promised land. God is serious. Think about our first ancestor, Adam and Eve. What did they do? They ate a piece of fruit. They just ate a piece of fruit. What's the big deal? The big deal was God specifically said no. God doesn't play around with us. God gives us a law to walk by that we might be prosperous. But he cannot allow us to think we're in control or we're going to go off in every direction that we think is good for us. Parents, you've got to teach your children that they are to obey and not veer to the right or to the left. Our culture winks at sin. Our culture makes fun of Christian values. And maybe we think sometimes, well, it's okay, everybody accepts it. God doesn't. And what happens when we disobey God? We quench the Holy Spirit in our lives. And God cannot bless us. Now, forgiveness is always available. Forgiveness is always there for us. Now, if I was to ask for a show of hands today of the adults in this room who may sometimes struggle financially, paying bills, taking care of hospital expenses when they come up, putting food on the table, we would have a lot of hands. And if everybody raised their hands, and then I ask how many of you have a debt problem, it'd be the same hands. Did you know that God tells us to stay out of debt? The Bible makes it very emphatically clear. Because the lender is servant, or the servant, help me out here, guys. The borrower is servant to the lender. All right, we got it. All right. The borrower is servant to the lender. Drew a blank. And God says, don't do it. And you know why? Because it gets us in trouble. God tells us to forgive. You get with a family that doesn't forgive and they hold grudges, that family's messed up. Everything God commands us to do is for our good. We've got a granddaughter. How old is she now, Ginger? The baby. 18 months? 18 months old. I ought to have had some pictures to show you how adorable she is. But she gets in our house and she runs around and walks around. And she likes to go in the kitchen and walk up to the stove and start putting her hands on the stove. Boy, when she does that, we holler at her. We tell her no. Is it because we don't love her? Because we don't want her to get burned. Because we know that stoves get hot and stoves burn. Now, she might would go back and complain to her friends, Well, my pops and Gigi don't love me. They won't let me play with the stove. No. We know it'll hurt her. See, the instructions of God as simple commands from a loving Father who wants to help you keep from messing up your life. So the Lord gives his instructions to Joshua because he wants Joshua to be successful. All right. Number four, know his word intimately. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. We need to be talking about it. You are to recite it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. If one day I'm out exercising and walking down the street and you see me out there and feel sorry for me and you stop by and say, "Pastor Ken, would you like to ride home?" I say, "Please." And I'll step in your car and you're listening to music. It better be Christian music. Because what Christian music does, it reinforces the Word of God. Oftentimes, the songs that we sing are Scripture. They keep us closer to God. We are to read the Word of God, study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and memorize the Word of God. Too often, and I'm going to talk to you about these at the end of the message, we take our daily bread devotional or whatever devotional that we've got, and we open it up and we say, "Man, I've got 3 minutes and then I have to go," and we read the thing quickly. You need to take time when you read the Word of God and meditate on it. What that means is you need to read between the lines. And you need to let God speak to you. And you need to process this in your life. Because success, according to God, and you know, if you're praying for God's blessings, don't you think it would be a good idea to listen to Him? If you want God to honor your prayers, don't you think it would be a good idea to follow His direction? Because He told Joshua, "I'm telling you this so that you might be prosperous." And friends, right now, my wife and I feel very prosperous because our children are walking with the Lord and our grandchildren seem to love the Lord. We need nothing else. Prosperity is not about things. I believe prosperity is about family and purpose, and God will bless us. That's why the Lord is giving Joshua these directions, that they might prosper. Ignorance is no excuse of the instructions of God. David says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." When I began pastoring, and I know that I've shared this with some of you in the congregation, I was ignorant. I had just graduated college with a bachelor's in industrial technology. Did that prepare me to pastor? Absolutely not. I knew some scripture, but not very much. I knew I loved God and I loved people, but friends, that ain't enough. After a short time, being paid $50 a week, I found out you can't survive on that. So I got a job at a manufacturing company in Mahia, Abrant, and I was on a assembly line upholstering furniture. Ginger had a job in town, and then she went to school for a year in Corsicana to become a nurse, for those that may not know that. And she would drop me off at my manufacturing plant an hour or so early every day. And I had a New Testament that I would go back and just read and study. I grew so much in the Lord at A. Brandt Manufacturing because of the time I spent in the Word. If I had stayed home, I'd probably watch television. But it was time in the Word of God that grounded me and strengthened me and helped me so much. And I think being a pastor with some success helping people. You cannot do it without time in the Word of God. If you want your marriage to be strong, and I know that in our culture today, having a strong marriage is difficult. Get in the Word of God. It's going to teach you how to love your spouse. It's going to teach you how to pray for your spouse. It's going to teach you how you try to pull the family together. Any money problems? Get in the Word of God. It's going to instruct you to get yourself out of debt. To learn to be content with what you can afford. And to work hard and save and that God will bless you. It's going to teach you how to raise your children. How to teach your children how to follow Christ. It's going to teach you that you cannot trust your feelings. Can't trust your emotions. They're going to go bonkers on you sometimes. But God's Word is always true. You need to be in the Word of God. Now the final point is simply this. Know that His Word leads to prosperity and success. He told Joshua, He said, Joshua, you've got to divide up the land. And I imagine Joshua was thinking, Lord, we got a problem here. There's people that live in that land, and they're not going to think kindly of what I'm about to do. And Lord, I've already heard some of the tribes grumbling about the land they want. But the Lord says to him, then you will prosper and you will succeed in whatever you do. He tells Joshua. He doesn't give him a big battle strategy up front, but he says simply, get in the Word. Study the Word. Stay in the Word. Know the Word. And you need to get that in your heart. It needs to be something that you're speaking about, that you're talking about it. The Israelites, those who were very religious, would take the promises of God and put them on paper and roll the paper up and put them in a container and hang it in the front of their foreheads and walk around. I don't know, maybe they're thinking the scripture's going to somehow just go through. I don't know, but I don't think that works. But at least they were trying to do something. We need to be people of the book. Wherever you're struggling, I'll promise you, there is a scripture that deals with it. Whatever the battle that is raging in front of you, there are scriptures that will teach you how to get through it. But the great thing is to be so immersed in the Word of God that when you're affronted, you know exactly what to do. So my challenge today to you is to get in the Word. To study the Word. Meditate on the Word. Memorize the Word. so that you might be prosperous. And prosperity is not financial. We will all exit this world with nothing. Billy Graham used to say, I have yet to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul to the cemetery. But the older I get, and no comments, please, I think it's all about family while we're here. Family and serving the Lord. There's an insert in your bulletin today about daily breads. We've got daily breads on the foyer table. You can get it as an app on your phone. Amy told me that she does it on her house, just talking to her Alexa. How many people have something like an Alexa in your home? I know a few of you do. It's kind of a neat thing. Amy told me, now, at our home, what we do with Alexa frequently is with our grandbaby. When she goes to sleep, we will say, Alexa, play some white noise. Or when we want to party with her, we say, Alexa, play I'm a Believer by the Monkees. And we'll dance a little bit with her. But Amy says what she does is say, Alexa, I want to listen to our daily bread. You can listen. There's even a teen, our daily bread. It's a brief thing. You can read the thing in 60 seconds? If you want to read quick, don't do that. Meditate on it. Study on it. Be involved in a Bible study class. Get into the Word of God. Just open the book and begin to read. God will change your life as you allow Him to minister to you through His Word. Then you will prosper and seed in whatever you do. That's where I want to be. I don't have to have money. I tend to overeat with it anyway. Can you recall the line from Home Alone 2? When the kid's in the candy store and he gives $20 for the children's fun. And the owner there says that was a very generous thing to do. And he said, I'd probably just spend it on something that would rot my teeth and rot my mind. You know, he pretty much on target, wasn't he? It's not about money. It's not about the size of the house. You just got to clean it all. It's about simple things. Your walk with God, a strong family, feeling a purpose in life. That's success. That's success. Pray with me. Father God, Father God, as we face the struggles in life, as we face the battles and the conflicts that are going to come our way, Lord, Father, I pray that each of us would be grounded enough in the Word of God that we've made good decisions, that we've prepared for conflict, that we have built those strong relationships, that we know how to give counsel when people come to us, that we find joy and pleasure in the simple things of life. I pray that each of us here, Father, would be in the Word of God. that it might become that strength, that guidebook that prepares us. And Father, if we are not in the Word today, help us to make that decision to get in the Word. Help us to be focused and determined to know His Word. And Father, we pray for your blessings, that thy Word might become alive in us. For us in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.